Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come in Thy hallowed presence, so thankful to Thee for all the blessings that Thou hast provided for us. We thank Thee especially for the gift of Thy Son and for the privileges that we have through Him. And now, dear Father, we look forward to this service and we ask Thy blessing upon it. We ask especially that Thou bless Brother Wasserman as he delivers the message to us. We ask these things and give Thee continued thanks in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. We will now have a scripture reading from Exodus, the 12th chapter. And the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to the eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the even. And they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden, or with water, but roast with fire, his head and legs, with the pertness thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be unto you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when ye see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Then turn to Luke, the 22nd chapter, verses 15 through 20. And he said to them, With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine, until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread, and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. my pleasure to introduce to you Brother Wasserman, who will deliver this service. Brother Wasserman. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." We have gathered here tonight, dear friends, to commemorate once more the death of our Lord Jesus as a ransom sacrifice on behalf of a sinful world. All over the world, as this hallowed evening hour arrives, the Lord's people come together to observe this memorial in the appointed manner, to partake of the bread and the cup. These, of course, are but symbols. Symbols, nonetheless, that carry deep and solemn lessons, picturing our partaking of the merit of his perfect sacrifice on behalf of the whole world, and reminding us of our covenant to fill up that which is behind of the sufferings of Christ, our participation in his death, with the hope that if we are thus baptized into the likeness of his death, we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And so, as we partake of these emblems, our hearts and minds go back over the long centuries to that lonely man who trod the rough and dusty roads of Palestine, laying down that perfect life that sinful man might live. Some translators tell us that the Greek word here translated remembrance means much more than simply to call to mind, as we would some ordinary event in the life of a fellow man. Rather, it carries with it an imploring, beseeching quality. It means to recall with love and affection and tenderness and fond longing, as between only those who love one another with a deep and abiding love. And so, as we hear those touching words of our masters, "This do in remembrance of me," I am sure there spring to our hearts and minds vivid recollections of the many loving and tender incidents in the life of our Lord as he went about preaching the gospel and doing good and enduring hardship, fulfilling his ministry of laying down his perfect life as a sacrifice on behalf of the world of mankind. I'm sure we will all recall the occasion of Christ's baptism at Jordan, where he went to be baptized of John. Do you remember John's reluctance to baptize his Lord? He said, "It is I who should be baptized of thee, Lord." And then we remember Jesus' insistence, "Suffer it, John, to be so now," in order to make a picture for us down here at the end of the age of full consecration. And then, as a result of his giving himself wholly to his heavenly Father in full consecration, there descended upon him the Holy Spirit, evidence of his acceptance by the Heavenly Father of his offering. And then we remember how the heavens were opened, signifying that our Lord Jesus was then endowed with understanding of the entire plan of salvation for humankind, and especially of his own vital role in that salvation. And then that wonderful assurance that came to him that the Father was pleased with him. Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so at that Last Supper with his beloved disciples, Jesus is saying, in the coming years, as you partake of these emblems, remember this, my brethren. If you give yourself in full consecration to the Heavenly Father, and he accepts that offering, then you too will be begotten of the Holy Spirit. You too will have the heavens opened unto you. You too will be granted understanding of the divine plan of the ages. You too will be accepted into the family of God. Remember this, my brethren. And then, already after yielding himself to the leadings of the Holy Spirit, our Lord was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And there he was tempted of the devil. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And when that failed, the devil tempted him again. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And then again, when this temptation of the devil failed, he tried again. All these things will I give thee, all these kingdoms of the world and their glory, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And we recall how in each case Jesus answered and threw off the temptations of the devil with Scripture. And then we read that then the devil leadeth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Remember this, Jesus is saying to his disciples there in that Last Supper. When you are tempted, as I was, look to your Heavenly Father. Look to God's Word. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then, just as angels came and ministered unto me, so also will the angels minister lovingly and tenderly unto you. Remember this, my brethren. And then there was that wonderful incident at Jacob's well. Remember when Jesus and his disciples were passing from Judea to Galilee, and the evening came down upon them, and they were weary and hungry. And while Jesus sent his disciples into the city to procure food, he intended to rest himself at Jacob's well. There it was that the Samaritan woman approached him to draw water. Jesus asked her to give him a drink. He spoke to a Samaritan. And the woman was aware that the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans, And so she said to him, "You ask of me drink, a Samaritan?" And Jesus replied, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. It shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Shortly, the disciples returned with the food and urged the Lord to eat. "Master, eat." But Jesus said unto them, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." And the disciples, being puzzled, asked one another, "Hath anyone brought him food?" And Jesus, perceiving their question, said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." What was Jesus' meat that he was speaking about? Jesus' meat at that time was to preach to one who seemed to have a hearing ear, regardless of his own weariness, regardless of his hunger. And in thus doing his Father's will, he found himself refreshed and strengthened in mind and body. Jesus saw this encounter with the woman of Samaria as a priceless opportunity to preach the good news, an opportunity not to be missed. And as a result, many were converted. And so, Jesus is saying to us, brethren, don't miss these opportunities. There are those who would say, "There's lots of time. There are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest." Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And so, my brethren, Jesus is saying, remember this experience of mine, and remember the lesson. When you think you are too tired to serve, or too weak from hunger, or when the time seems not to be ripe, remember this incident, and remember the lesson. And also remember the wages, life eternal. And then there was the rich young man, that rich young ruler, who came to Jesus and said, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." And the young man replied, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" And then Jesus said, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now Peter and the other disciples had been watching with great interest this entire transaction. And Peter, speaking up, says, "Behold, Lord, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" And then Jesus gave that wonderful reply. He said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Remember this, my brethren, Jesus is saying to us. When the way is rough or discouraging, when your brethren misunderstand you, when you feel inclined to ask yourself, is it all worth the trials? Or what shall I get out of it? Then remember what I told Peter. Remember those priceless blessings of joy and the rewards that shall be yours in the kingdom. They are promised to you by none less than the Heavenly Father himself, and confirmed by me. Yes, Jesus had wrought many miracles. He had healed the sick. He had made the blind to see, the lame to walk. He had driven out evil spirits. He had raised some of the dead. He had multiplied the fishes and loaves to feed 5,000. He had showed the disciples where they could catch a multitude of fishes. He had turned water into wine. He had stilled the tempest and restored the man's withered hand. Yes, Jesus says to us, these were great events, my brethren. But remember this, Jesus says. Wonderful as all these were, if you continue faithful, you shall do even greater things. These were but previews of the blessings of the kingdom, at which time you will be reigning with me, for the purpose of blessing all the families of the earth. Not to go down into the grave again, as did many of these whom I healed, but to enjoy everlasting life. Remember this. And so tonight, friends, as we partake of the bread and the cup, these and many other scenes and many other incidents and many other lessons occur to us. Each of us will conjure up in his own mind those which he particularly remembers and which he particularly treasures. We will each of us have his own tender thoughts of those stirring days in the life of our Lord, leading finally to his crucifixion on Calvary. All recalled to our minds by his simple, pleading, beseeching words, this do in remembrance of me. There is a touch of deep sadness in these words. This do in remembrance of me. A touch of loneliness and a sense of realization by our Lord of the difficult way that lies ahead for those whom he has invited to follow in his steps and whom he loves so very dearly. For this, in a sense, is his farewell message. Don't forget me, my brethren, he says. Don't forget the instruction I have given you for your guidance and for your comfort and encouragement. Don't forget the truth. Don't forget your invitation to the high calling, to glory and honor and immortality. Don't forget the glorious promises to you, if faithful, of blessing all the families of the earth. Don't forget my example of sacrifice. And brethren, says Jesus, don't forget me. Don't forget my love for you all, at all times and in all conditions. You desire my love. I also desire yours. When our Lord besought us to remember him, I'm sure at that very moment he was looking forward to the cross, where he would be crucified between two thieves, a crown of thorns on his head, and a superscription of scorn written over him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, "And he was numbered with transgressors. And they that passed by reviled him, and the rulers derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, and they that were crucified with him reviled him." And then came that final awful hour when the suffering was so intense that he thought his Father had forsaken him. And finally, that triumphant cry, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he breathed his last. The sacrifice for the world was finished. But we can still hear Jesus sweetly saying, "Brethren, remember your covenant of sacrifice. Remember our fathers' overruling providences. Remember your call to honor, glory, and immortality. Remember the blessing in store for the whole world of mankind when the kingdom is established. Remember that you will be tested, even as I was, under our Heavenly Father's supervision. But remember that you too can overcome, even as I did, with our Father's loving help. Remember my words of comfort, my words of instruction and encouragement. Remember my sacrifice on your behalf and on behalf of the whole world of mankind. And brethren, don't forget me. This do in remembrance of me." as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." Dear Heavenly Father, we come to Thee to thank Thee for this bread and for the many things which it symbolizes to us. We ask Thy blessing upon it and bless us as we partake of it. In Jesus' name, amen. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all out of it. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Our Heavenly Father, we come again into Thy presence to thank Thee for this cup and for the privilege that we have of laying our lives down in sacrifice with our Lord. We thank Thee for this privilege, and we ask Thy blessing upon the cup and what it symbolizes to us. In Jesus' name we thank Thee. Amen. when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives.